We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Late Night. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI. Boston Sports Talk for Insomniacs and the Graveyard Pack. Let's get it going with Patrick Gilroy. Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
Need way more evidence than these two games. Honestly, the way sports work, to see them come out on fire, mad at each other, whatever that plane ride is, they should videotape it, put it on a TED Talk. But, you know, the fact that they came out and fought and showed some, just some anger, like, that was a great little sign. But I got to see this for a couple weeks. And the Kyrie part of this, that I still, like, I know, you guys don't fly me out here to go, I don't know. But I don't know yet with Kyrie. I don't know. I don't I don't know if he's Stephen Curry offensively and makes all these things work.
It'd be all over.
Most of you were not alive the last time the Bruins had an 18-game point streak.
Let's go while we're young.
All right, sir. Trying to tee off.
Others of us were children. It was 50 years ago, but Boston extends its point streak to 18 consecutive games in most dramatic fashion. A 4-3 last minute comeback to beat the Florida Panthers.
Back-to-back nights and back-to-back last minute, last second finishes here for the Celtics and the Bruins. It is a Sports Radio WEI. It is Late Night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And I've got a couple of ideas for tonight. I mean, we can continue to talk about the Celtics. You want to talk about the Bruins and what they've been able to do this year. I mean, what they've accomplished this year, the Boston Bruins, is simply, it's outstanding. And as a Celtics fan, watching the Bruins now, because, again, they're entertaining. They're reeling in the casual fans, which is what the Celtics have done so well over the last few years, and it's what they failed to do this year. So paying more attention to the Bruins, I got to tell you, it's such an entertaining brand of hockey. And I hate to say this, but the possibility is there that the Bruins have leapfrogged the Celtics in terms of most likely to win a championship. You know, there's always this debate going into, you know, the winter sports months, which team is closer to winning a championship? Is it the Celtics or the Bruins? And my argument has always been the same. It's two completely different sports, and it's two completely different arguments. In the NBA, you need to establish two top 20 players at a minimum to put yourself in the championship discussion realistically. I mean, there's been a couple of occasions where that hasn't been the formula, but generally the NBA is all about premier talent, and the top players in the league generally win out in playoff series. As we all know, hockey is completely different. You don't necessarily need to be a top seed in the NHL to put yourself in the Stanley Cup discussion. It's the oldest cliche in the book, but you know, you ride the hot goalie. It's very true. There is a reason why that continues to be a trend and continues to be a topic of conversation. So, of course, we can continue our conversations that we've had all week long about the Celtics, as they're now 2-0 on their West Coast road trip, and they're going to head into L.A. this weekend. And this is going to be a big performance for the Celtics over the weekend. They've got two games. They've got the Lakers and then the Clippers on Saturday and then Monday. Then they make their way back home. So right now, if you had gone into this West Coast road trip, you know, as the Celtics are flying out there, and we all heard and we all learned that apparently everything changed for the Boston Celtics on that magical flight out west, right? That's when the whole season, you know, 4 or 5 months worth of discontent went away. That airplane became the good ship Lollipop, and everybody suddenly loved one another because they went on to that flight. They boarded that flight here in New England, and there was angst. You know, there was a team that was disconnected from all cylinders. There was a team that really they had no respect for their coach any longer. It was a team that was led by Kyrie Irving, and Kyrie's bad attitude at the time seemed to permeate through that team 1 through 15. And there was no escaping it. You had Jaylen Brown calling the team toxic. And then what happens? What happens? They get on the flight. They get off the flight 5-6 hours later. And suddenly everybody's getting along. We all love one another once again. It's just something that I've never really experience before in my 19 years of covering the NBA, where it doesn't take a winning streak to solve the problems. It doesn't even take a win to solve the problems. If you go back and you play the audio of the Celtics practice going into that Golden State game, so 24 hours before the Celtics tipped off at Oracle, and you listen to the audio, you listen to the words coming out of Kyrie Irving's mouth, you listen to the way that Brad Stevens was talking, you listen to the way that the team was talking to one another, you watch some of the video. Hell, you just take a look on Twitter to the pictures, the photos that the Celtics Twitter account was suddenly tweeting out. Everybody loved one another once again. It was all smiles, all hugs, and suddenly the Celtics were all flying on the same page. It didn't make a lot of sense to me on how you can erase 60-plus games of failure, 60-plus games of building animosity towards one another in a 5 or 6 hour flight. However the Celtics did it, they need to bottle that up and sell it. Other NBA teams will buy it. Other sports will buy it. You know, hockey teams will buy it. Football teams will buy it. And Major League Baseball teams will buy whatever the Celtics were using on that flight to suddenly and seemingly get back on the same page. Now, is it a tease? I don't know. I don't know if this is just a tease. And I know that, you know, like Russillo said in the open there, you guys don't pay me to come on the radio to say I don't know. But I've made too many bold predictions about the Celtics all year long, and I can no longer sit here and just tell you guys comfortably, well, I've been covering the team for 19 years. I know this team inside and out. I can't do that. This team, to me, is a bunch of strangers. This team, to me, is like no team I've ever been around. This team, to me, is like no team I've ever experienced, no team I've ever rooted for, and no team I've ever watched. Because on a night-in and night-out basis, you have no idea which version of themselves they're going to be. And I know that there's a certain segment of fans out there that truly believe that this Celtics team has absolutely 100% beyond a shadow of a doubt, they've turned the page. They believe it. And they believe that this team now is going to put themselves immediately back into, if not only the championship discussion, maybe the elite teams in the Eastern Conference discussion. Meaning that this Celtics team suddenly has gone from a team that was slip-sliding all the way down to fifth place in the Eastern Conference. Suddenly third place is within reach. Suddenly, the talk of this team potentially not only reaching a conference final, but winning a conference final is suddenly back on the table and doesn't sound so crazy. And to me, it's like, how can we change the dialogue? How can we change the way that a season has gone in just a matter of two games and one magical flight? So Celtics fans out there, we do want to talk to you guys to start the program tonight because I need to gauge my own fandom. I need to gauge exactly where I'm feeling going into this weekend. It is a revenge weekend for the Boston Celtics. They're going to have ample opportunity to make themselves feel better because they owe revenge to both the Lakers and the Clippers. The Lakers coming to Boston about a month ago, and we all remember what they did. They erased a deficit in the fourth quarter, and then it was Rajon Rondo with the last-second jump shot because Al Horford, my guy Al Horford, could not secure the defensive rebound. Rajon Rondo gets a free-throw line extended jump shot with no time remaining on the clock, and they break the Celtics' hearts, winning by 1 point. And that's bad, but you almost have to laugh that off. I mean, a Rondo jumper to beat you. There's so much irony there. It's not even funny. And following that game, if you remember, Rajon Rondo actually had glowing things to say about the Celtics and glowing things to say about Danny Ainge. And at the time, Danny's name was in the news constantly because he was getting hammered around the NBA. This is right around the time, just prior to the trade deadline, when Rich Paul and LeBron James and the Lakers were doing their thing, desperately trying to get Anthony Davis to be traded to the Lakers in the coming days and weeks. So what were they doing? They were smearing the Celtics and smearing Danny Ainge and trying to make the Celtics look like an undesirable destination. And they were doing a damn good job of it. They even spread around the league this rumor that other players around the league were disenfranchised and really upset with the way that the Boston Celtics, and namely Danny Ainge, treated a guy like Isaiah Thomas because Isaiah Thomas gave the Celtics his heart and his soul, and nobody's ever questioned that. But to me, it never made any sense because if you're an elite player in the NBA and you're playing for Danny Ainge or you're playing for any general manager in the league, aren't you going to want your general manager to leave emotion on the side and do everything in his power to surround you with the most elite talent that he possibly can? So that dialogue and that narrative never made a lot of sense to me. And really, it got backed up here because a couple of, what was it, last week, we're talking to Gordon Hayward's agent here in the program. And Gordon Hayward's agent is very well connected around the league. He represents 30 current players around the NBA. So I asked him about the way that Danny Ainge is perceived around the NBA. And he said, no, everybody respects the hell out of Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge is a loved guy around the league because he is considered a straight shooter. So everything that we learned about Danny Ainge's, the way that he is perceived around the NBA from Rich Paul and from the Los Angeles Lakers going into the trade deadline, it turned out to be totally false. And that makes a lot more sense to me because Danny Ainge is a guy who does his job and does it well when you look at what the Celtics have accomplished. But I'm getting off track here. So this is a revenge weekend for the Celtics. Rajon Rondo, yeah, it was cute. It was fun. He beat the Celtics at the buzzer, but you can live with it. One of the worst shooting guards in the league beats the Celtics on a jump shot. It made too much sense for it not to happen, right? And then Rajon Rondo in the post-game interview, what does he do? He praises the Celtics, and he praises Danny Ainge for giving him his start, giving him his chance, and believing in him. So that made that difficult pill a little bit easier to swallow for Celtics fans. It was what came next that really got the spiral going for the Boston Celtics. And what came next was the Celtics having a 28-point lead against Doc Rivers and his Clippers, and they blow that lead at home. Just a historically bad home loss for the Boston Celtics. And that really started the Celtics down this downward trend over the month of February into early March. Yet here we are, the Celtics now, they hit the West Coast, and when they got on that plane, this was a broken basketball team. When they got on that plane, nothing was working for the Boston Celtics. But now, suddenly you get off that plane and everything's fixed. So the question that I've got for you guys tonight is, does two wins on the West Coast, does one fun plane ride and two wins on the West Coast, does that actually fix what's been ailing the Boston Celtics? Is it safe to believe once again in your basketball team? And our Celtics fans, have they tuned back in? Have Celtics fans once again started to believe in your basketball team? Because this is a crucial weekend, and guess what? These are two winnable basketball games for the Boston Celtics. Both of these games are games that the Celtics should win. There is not a back-to-back situation, so you're not going to have rest being an issue, and you've got revenge on the mind, so you're going to get up for both of these games. They're nationally televised games Saturday night. There is absolutely no way, I don't care how bad the Lakers have been reeling 2-8 in their last 10 games, it is LeBron James, it is the Los Angeles Lakers. If you cannot get up for that game, if you cannot give a unified effort in that game, knowing what's on the line for yourselves, well then, maybe this team hasn't changed its stripes. But I've heard from a tremendous amount of Celtics fans between the time we got off the air last night and between the time that I got on the air today. So between 2 a.m. last night and 10 p.m. tonight, I'm telling you right now, you guys are vocal. And I've heard from a lot of you guys on Twitter, and it seems to me that Celtics fans, it took a long time for you guys to jump off the bandwagon. I'm telling you right now, it took to right around the All-Star break for Celtics fans finally to bite the bullet. Because we're a resilient bunch and we're an optimistic bunch, and Celtics fans didn't want to believe that our team wasn't what we thought it was going to be. Celtics fans did not want to believe that our team was just not the team that was as advertised, and we certainly did not want to believe that Kyrie Irving wasn't the player that we thought he was. And most of all, we did not want to believe that Brad Stevens wasn't the coach that we all thought that he was supposed to be. So we gave this team a extended period of time, let's say, to get things together, to get things right. And we did, because we're an easy bunch of fans to please. Let's face it, I mean, you know, Felger calls us green teamers as an insult. I don't take it as an insult. It is a badge of honor to be a green teamer for me, okay? Because I am willing to give my team the benefit of the doubt most of the time. So it did take about 60 games this year for me to finally say, enough with this. I can't watch this. And listening to Bob Ryan, when we talked to him a few days ago here, Bob Ryan, you know, he said he had to turn off the Houston game. And he does not turn off basketball games. He does not turn off Celtics games. Even he had enough with the Boston Celtics. So I know that we're not the only ones, and I know that the diehards like myself, like Bob Ryan, we gave this team an extended period of time to get their you-know-what together. The question is, just as quickly as we turned it off, just as quickly as we decided no more. You know, I'll watch these games because it's my job, but no more am I going to be emotionally invested into this basketball team, because each and every time this year I thought that they had turned the corner, each and every time this year that I thought that my team was back, and each and every time this year that I thought, okay, I am going to get a return on my emotional investment, what did they do? They disappointed. They didn't come through. They ultimately proved to be the team that they ultimately were for 90% of the season. a disappointing bunch, a team that was difficult to watch, a team that was difficult to like, a bunch of front runners, a team that seemingly did not care, and a team that played basketball with the wrong attitude and the wrong style of play. You know, forgetting about everything that Brad Stevens had built this team to be. A pace and space, 3 and D, you know, the best shot is the open shot offense, emulating the offenses of the vintage Spurs or the Golden State Warriors. That is exactly the offense that Brad Stevens set out to have here, and that is exactly the offense that he did his best to run with less than premier talent through his first handful of years here. And he did a damn good job in maximizing the talent of those basketball teams. But this year he goes into the season, finally, he's got talent, and what happens? The talent does not want to play Brad Stevens' style of basketball. And I've been debating something internally in my mind for the better part of the last month, because as the whole Kyrie Irving thing went south, as Kyrie Irving's attitude continued to get worse, as the likelihood of Kyrie Irving walking at the end of the season got higher and higher with each passing game, with each passing day, I thought to myself, whose fault is this? Is this Kyrie's fault or is this Brad's fault? Meaning, we all know that Brad Stevens wants to run his offense a certain way. But at some point, doesn't your head coach, isn't it incumbent upon him to change it up a little bit, to maybe adhere to, you know, trying to make his team placate his best player, meaning you play to your best player's strengths. Instead of forcing your best player in Kyrie Irving to try and play, quote-unquote, Celtic basketball, at some point here, doesn't Brad have to loosen up and say, you know what, guys, we're going to rework the offense because we have a uniquely talented point guard here. We've got a uniquely talented scorer here, and it's incumbent upon us to maximize his ability. Because to me, that was one of the problems that the Celtics faced this year. It was this stubborn unwillingness on Brad's part and a stubborn unwillingness on Kyrie's part. So two guys just clashing, going head-to-head, both of them stubborn, both of them unwilling to do what was best for the basketball team. And that was to come together and find some sort of common ground so you can maximize Brad's offense while maximizing Kyrie's potential. Then they go out west, they hop on an airplane, they come off the plane, suddenly everybody's best friends. It's like they all took their Prozac and saw the world's best therapist. They get off the plane and suddenly everything is A-okay. Suddenly these guys are playing for one another. And I went back last night when I got home, I couldn't sleep. I told you I would not be able to sleep because the adrenaline was just running so high after watching Gordon Hayward. I mean, if I felt that good for Gordon Hayward to hit that game-winning shot, I can't begin to think how Gordon Hayward felt. That guy, he deserves the moment that he had last night. He has worked his ass off, and he has had to hear his name smeared through the Boston media and the national media because he has not lived up to expectations, regardless of the fact that those expectations are unrealistic. And they continue to be unrealistic. Because with each medical professional that we have here on Late Night, or talking to his agent, talking to people that have been around him since he got injured, the fact is, the most underreported story in Boston over the last year has been his second surgery. Yet we don't give him any sort of leeway on that. Most Boston fans are absolutely pissed off at Gordon Hayward because he has not been the guy that he's supposed to be, so they want to put the blame on Gordon Hayward. They want to say that he's not the star that the Celtics thought that they were getting.
Garbage Hayward.
They want to say, like Mark James, that he's garbage Hayward. Well, you know, Mark, it's a matter of math here. And I know that math may be difficult for some people here, but it's a matter of math. And when you look at the time that he had the second surgery compared to where we're at now, it's been less than a year. So when you look at it like that, as opposed to looking at the date of the first surgery, look at it as the date of the second surgery. Because the second surgery did what? It put him back in a walking boot. It immobilized him to the point where 2 weeks before the Celtics broke for training camp, the dude's walking around in a walking boot. 2 weeks later, he's in the starting lineup. You know what I mean? So there were unrealistic expectations all around. But regardless, he has a back-to-back performance. He goes for 30 points, then he hits the game winner. So Celtics fans, you know, this is something to think about here tonight because I need to know what to do. Do I get emotionally reinvested back into the Boston Celtics as they're now at the tail end of the season? What's there? 16 games left to go in the year. They've got 2 games remaining on this road trip. And going into this road trip, if you had told me that they would come home 500, considering the way that they had been playing, I would have taken it. I would have thought that that was a successful road trip. 3 out of 4, forget about it. Throw the parade. Have a party. considering the way that this team has been playing, especially the way that they've been playing on the road. But now they've got a realistic opportunity to win 3 out of 4 to maybe sweep the road trip. And what does that do? If the Celtics come back winning 3 out of 4 on the road, or I hate to say it, I hesitate to say it, but if they sweep this road trip, does that mean that Celtics fans, they are back on the bandwagon and it is safe to put those expectations back on your basketball team? Is that a safe assumption? Are we okay to reinvest ourselves emotionally in the Boston Celtics because of what we've seen over the last two games? Wins over the world champions and then a win over the Kings last night. A good young upstart Kings team who's been a very good team at home. What does this mean for the Boston Celtics and what does it mean for Celtics fans? 27% of you have tuned out this year, all right? NBC Sports Boston, your ratings are down 27% year over year compared to last year. So that is a huge number of fans. Tens of thousands of fans have decided to tune out and not watch this product this year. Is there a percentage of that 27% that is ready to hop back in because of what this Celtics team has accomplished out there on the West? We'll talk about that here. It is Sports Radio WEEI. It is WEEI Late Night. My name is Patrick Gilroy, opening the show tonight, trying to figure out if it is safe to emotionally reinvest into the Boston Celtics. Coming up a little bit later on the program, I want to get into this whole thing with Michael Jordan and LeBron James. I really do. I find it a fascinating discussion. If you listen to or if you watch the shows today on ESPN or FS1, there's this raging debate, and some of these young guys that host these shows, they are far too quick to point to the stats and say, LeBron James, he has surpassed Michael Jordan. LeBron is the best player of all time. And I know the numbers will bear that out, but it doesn't matter to me. I mean, I am of the theory, I am of the mind that if you polled 30 NBA general managers right now, 25 of them would start their team with Michael Jordan over LeBron James. Maybe I'm just being nostalgic. Maybe I'm just being stupid. But to me, LeBron is still missing something. And we're going to try to identify what that something is here tonight, because that something certainly isn't the numbers. The numbers are insane for LeBron James, but the numbers still aren't enough to make me declare him the best player of all time. We'll talk about that. And coming up a little bit later in the program, I'm disgusted. I'm just, as a parent, I am disgusted. So I have always listened to Michael Jackson music, always. It's just always been in my iPod. Before my iPod, I've got the entire CD collection. My kids have grown up with it. When I run, I run every day. And, you know, there's 7 or 8 songs that are in the heavy rotation. And my daughter, she's like a dancer, she's a performer, she twirls her baton, and she loves Michael Jackson. Like, loves him. I am seriously considering never letting my kids listen to it again. I mean, I'm of the mind that top 40 stations, oldie stations, just any radio airplay stations need to take him out of the rotation right away. I watched Saving Neverland. If you guys watch this, this is one of the most disturbing 4 hours of movie or television, whatever. It was on HBO. 4 hours. Two-hour specials. It was disgusting. I am disgusted. And I don't know what to do. Do I go home tonight and do I remove Michael Jackson from her iPod? Do we say no more Michael Jackson allowed in the house? Or is there a way to sort of celebrate the music and separate it from the person? So I do want to get into that, because you guys have always been great when it comes to helping me parent, giving me your opinions. We'll talk about that coming up a little bit later. But when we come back, I do want to talk about the Celtics. Gordon Hayward with the game winner last night. Are you guys ready to emotionally reinvest in Boston's basketball team? We'll talk about that with you when we come back right here on Sports Radio WEEI.
I watched the Celtics game last night.
Basketball crazy Boston Celtics.
What the hell are the Celtics doing?
We are going to start winning again.
Winning! Winning!
It is late night right here on Sports Radio WEEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you. Opening the program tonight talking about the Celtics. It's an off night for the Celtics following back-to-back wins on the road out west. And it's more than just the wins that have me starting to think that maybe it's time to reinvest emotionally in this basketball team. I'm not ready to do it just yet. I'm close. It's like, you know, you got a girlfriend for years and she dumps you, but you guys continue talking and now you're talking a little bit more seriously and she's throwing hints out there that, you know, let's get back together. But now you're the one that's a little bit hesitant. You know, you thought you wanted her back. She still looks good. She actually looks better now than ever before because you've been away. You've been apart for a couple of weeks now. Now you look at her, you say, damn, did I really have that for the last few years?
Have you experienced this, Mr. Gilroy?
More than once, Joe. It's like, damn, did I really have that? How could I possibly have let that thing walk? But now we're at the point where I'm looking at the Celtics and I'm like, how did I let them escape my life? How did I let them escape my heart? You know, that's a team that has been a part of my life my entire life. But because this year, I think it's because I'm doing this almost every night. So not only do I have to, you know, pay attention to the team, cover the team, watch them lose, I then have to talk about it for 4 hours. And it is so incredibly painful. Not the losses. Again, I have been through much worse seasons than this. This is, they've got a 600 winning percentage. Winning-wise, losing-wise, this is not a bad basketball team whatsoever. No, not at all. I've been through some horrific years, like where the Celtics don't make the playoffs for a decade, where Rick Pitino's here, stripping Red Auerbach of his title, where we're counting on Vin Baker to get sober for the Celtics to win basketball games. Those teams were easier to watch on a day-in and day-out basis, a night-in and night-out basis than this one, because those teams came with little to zero expectations. And this year was full of expectations. It was full of optimism. And that those expectations and that optimism, they started to go out the window almost immediately. But diehard Celtics fans like myself, I know this for a fact because I talk to you guys every night. We were unwilling, unable, and we simply were too stubborn to kick this team out of our lives. We kept on saying, you know what? No, they're going to turn the corner. They just need this to happen. They just need that to happen. And each and every time they had themselves a quote-unquote signature win, Philadelphia, Toronto, Milwaukee, OKC, each and every time we would come back here, start the next show, start the next hour sometimes and say, okay, that was the win. That was the one they were looking for. That's the rallying cry. They're going to turn the corner right now. Celtics basketball is back, baby. Let's go. And what would happen? They would disappoint once again. And as they continued to sort of sputter throughout the season, this team became more and more fractured and became more and more unlikable. And something got into Kyrie Irving where if you go back, and I've done this exercise over the course of the last three nights, if you go back and you listen to Kyrie, the first couple of months of the season, despite the fact that the Celtics were losing, despite the fact that they started the season 10-10, you know, through 20 games as a 500 team that had to make wholesale changes to the starting lineup just to sort of grab the guy's attention. But if you go back and you listen to the player interviews, if you go back and you listen to Kyrie Irving, they were still very optimistic. They were still positive. There was no talk about the infighting. There was no outward disrespect towards their coach. And then all of a sudden, it all went haywire. The Celtics are in Florida, and you know they're playing the Miami Heat. Suddenly, Marcus Morris and Jaylen Brown are in a shoving match. The next night, the Celtics are in Orlando, and Kyrie doesn't get the call at the end of the game. It's not, you know, Brad Stevens opts not to give him the final shot of the game in a one-point game, and he outwardly disrespects the coach. Everything started going wrong, started going haywire. I don't need to go game by game by game to recap it. We've all lived it. We all know it. But suddenly, after all that, when it was seemingly could not get any worse, we were all convinced that not only was Kyrie Irving going to leave, not only was he going to New York, because we all saw the video with he and Kevin Durant, and we convinced ourselves that they were absolutely 100% beyond a shadow of a doubt talking about two max spots in New York, KD and Kyrie going to New York. Celtics fans became doomsday type people, and we all convinced ourselves that that's what was happening. So between that and the fact that this team continued to lose, they were very much an unlikable bunch. They did not play the way that we became accustomed to watching the Celtics play. We were ready to ship Kyrie Irving out of town. Bob Ryan on this program told me a few days ago that he would drive Kyrie Irving to the airport. Bob Ryan, basketball Bob, a guy that admits that Kyrie is a top 10 player in the NBA, but wanted to drive him to the airport, and I was right there with him. How can I allow myself, after just two wins, two impressive wins, two uniquely different wins, you know, you've got your big game, your big blowout win, where Gordon Hayward scores 30 points, the Celtics win by 30, on the road against the world champs, against the Warriors. I mean, really, everything went perfectly that night. You get that win, that signature win. But I think just as impressive is on the second night of a back-to-back, now with no Kyrie Irving, the Celtics play a young upstart Kings team, a team that's been very good at home, 8 or 9 games over 500 at home, a team that's competing for a playoff spot that desperately needs the win. And the Celtics do what? They win that game as well. So now I'm teased. Now I'm asking myself, is it time to jump back in? Is it time to reinvest myself emotionally in the Boston Celtics? The question I've got for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937, is it a safe move? Is it safe to reinvest ourselves emotionally in the Boston Celtics? Let's get back out to these phone calls. Let's go to Brendan. Brendan's in Ipswich. Brendan, you're first up here on WEI.
Hi, how you doing, Patrick?
Hey, Brendan.
First-time caller.
Glad to hear from you.
For a while.
Thank you.
So I feel like with the Celtics right now, it's them, like, it's weird because, you know, you saw them all on the bench there. They're just loving each other in Oracle.
Right, but how does that happen? Because 72 hours beforehand, when they were at home getting blown out by the Rockets, they hated each other.
Yeah, I was there on Sunday with my buddy, and it was rock bottom. We were all booing them. It was bad. It was tough to watch. And, I mean, we all might be prisoners of the moment, but a lot of it is on Gordon Hayward, I think. I mean, if he starts believing in himself again, which he did in Oracle, and he put on a show, and then he gave us a good night last night. If he starts believing in himself and he starts becoming that number two option, and then the young guys, the Jaylen Browns, the Roziers, they start believing that he can do it again, I feel like this team might come back together, you know?
So, Brendan, let me ask you a question. It sounds like, and I don't want to speak for you, but it sounds like you believe that Gordon Hayward physically is fine and it's all upstairs. Is that the case?
I think that's it. Because I see him, I saw him miss a layup on Sunday.
Yes, you did.
And like...
In fairness, Jason Tatum did too, though. So
that's true.
You know.
I feel like it's more upstairs, yeah.
So I'm with you there. I think most of it's upstairs, but when you look at him physically, he's not 100% back yet, Brendan.
Yeah. But, like, that's true. But, like, you see him stutter sometimes, and not, like, with words, but, like, in the flow of the game.
Yep.
And
he's overthinking it.
Yeah. Because, I mean, that was, like, an awful one. That was one of the worst things I've ever seen, his injury.
Oh, it was disgusting. I mean, look, Brendan, the injury was disgusting, and it's one that we hope to never see again. I mean, just watching it, matter of fact, there's an exercise that another radio guy told me to do, so I did it, and I wish I didn't do it. So I hesitate to tell you guys to do it, but whatever. You know, it's been long enough now where I think we've all seen the injury, so there's really nothing you can do about it. We've all been exposed to it. But if you want to really understand just how devastating that injury was, go on to YouTube, put earphones in or put earpods in, right? So I want you just to have a good pair of AirPods in, and I want you to shut your eyes. Don't watch the video and just hit play. And just listen for the sound, because you can actually hear the injury. And when you isolate the sound and you hear it, you'll convince yourself that it is the most disgusting injury that you've ever witnessed in your life. I mean, it was a horrific injury in every way that an injury can be horrific. But you look at him now, and you even look at his performance last night. It was just 12 points. It's not like he carried the Celtics last night. But you bring up a great point. We've talked about this here on the program quite a bit. You know, Gordon Hayward, to me, when you look at him, and this is going to sound stupid, but he is absolutely 100% the key to the Celtics' success between now and the end of the season. Meaning, the Celtics are going to go as far as Gordon Hayward takes them. He's not their best player. He's not going to be the guy that takes them, you know, for 40 points a night the way that Kyrie can do sometimes. He's not the guy that's going to individually take over basketball games with his talent. But because of his role on this basketball team, what he does is he sets everybody else up. Meaning Kyrie Irving is absolutely, without a doubt, your number one option offensively. And what's really screwed the Celtics up is this lack of identity from anybody below Kyrie Irving, meaning, you know, you've got this fight between Marcus Morris. He believes he's this team's number two option. It should be Jason Tatum, or should it be Jaylen Brown? Or how about Al Horford? He's a five-time All-Star. Playoff Al. He's somebody that's certainly capable of giving this team 16, 18 points a night when he wants to. So which guy is going to step up and be that number two guy? There's literally been sort of a battle between all these guys, and nobody has grabbed that spot, grabbed that role, and because of that, the dominoes have never fallen in the right way. In no way, shape, or form should Marcus Morris has ever been the guy that, you know, that you can depend on as your number two scorer behind a Kyrie Irving. But there was talk this year, 6 weeks into the season, that Marcus Morris is going to the All-Star game because that's how well he played to start the season. That right then and there, that identifies your problem as a basketball team. So when Gordon Hayward is your natural number two, your natural number two scorer, the guy that you lean on to be secondary to Kyrie Irving, guess what happens? Everybody else falls into line. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Marcus Morris, Al Horford, everybody has their role more clearly defined. So in my opinion, if a guy like Gordon Hayward can continue to play like this, and he doesn't need to give you 30 points a night, but give you 12 to 20 a night, be a legit offensive weapon every night, not just be somebody that's designated to shoot the three, but continue going to the basket, be an elite playmaker with the basketball, be that guy that trusts himself so his teammates trust him. If he can fall in a line and be number two to Kyrie Irving, everybody else falls into place, and suddenly this looks like a lot more like a cohesive unit, like a real basketball team, as opposed to the jumbled up mess that it's been. It is Sports Radio, WEEI. Let's grab one one more before the break. Let's go to Kenny. Kenny's in Waltham. Kenny, you're up next here on WEEI.
Patrick.
Hey, Kenny.
Good to see you, man. Hey, you got to come see me at Ruth Chris for Restaurant Week next week.
I'm going to try to. Are you in all night, all week next week, or what's your schedule?
I'm off on Tuesday and Sunday.
All right, so.
And we don't do it on Saturday, so you're going to have to come on Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday next week.
So I'm going to try to come Monday because I'm leaving for the rest of the week. I'm here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday I go to Norfolk, Thursday I am in L.A., Friday I'm in Vegas. So I'm going to try and come on Monday.
Nice. Oh, that would be sweet.
All right, brother. What else you got?
All right, so I just wanted to chime in really quick about Jordan and LeBron. So I just wanted to quote a Seinfeld episode. Remember the episode when Elaine first met Mr. Pitt and she was interviewing for his job and the woman was like, listen, you either have grace or you don't.
It's a great episode.
It is.
Yep.
It's a great, great show. I think that's the like really simple thing differential between LeBron and Michael is that like Michael Jordan could like be graceful making a PB&J. You know, the guy just everything he does is just like he does it in such a unique way, in a unique fashion. And I think that just like I think a great word to use is finesse that LeBron just doesn't have. He just, you know, he just has that special something and just gives him that upper edge when I think you want to have a comparison between the two.
It's a good point. You know, MJ knew when to bring the finesse, but he also knew when to bring the hammer. He could be a killer out there too. You know what I mean? And he never looked like the thing about Michael that really impresses me. If you go to YouTube and you watch some of the videos too, it never looks like he's trying too hard. And sometimes LeBron James just looks like he's out there trying to almost fake it to the fans, like he's trying too hard. Meanwhile, Michael went out there, he made it look easy.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
I agree. That's a great point.
So listen, Katie, I'm going to try to get there Monday. I really am. You know, you guys don't open up till dinner time though, right?
Oh, well, we're open for lunch, but I only work at nighttime.
All right, so I got to get there sometime before 9 o'clock because that's when I start heading over here. So,
yeah, that'd be great. We'll get you in and out, man, rockstar style. You anytime.
What time are you in tomorrow? I'll give you a call and we'll put something in.
I'm in tomorrow at 5.
All right, I'll give you a call tomorrow night, Kenny. I appreciate the phone call. And we'll talk to you again real soon. See that? I don't even know that guy, you know?
What about the weekend with the missus?
So,
did you get out of that or is that still going on?
Well, I'm negotiating right now. Negotiating
well,
right now.
There's a negotiation.
It is, but I think he said no Saturday. You know what I mean? I think he said.
Yeah, but that means to negotiate to push it off till Monday.
Yeah, maybe. See that? Look at that, Joe. You're a veteran at this.
Innovation.
It is Sports Radio. WEEI. It's WEEI Late Night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Look, when we come back, I want to continue this conversation because I'm not convinced yet. You know, is it safe? Celtics fans, forget it. Forget it. You know, is it safe? I don't know. Is it safe to emotionally reinvest? I don't know. But the question is, I know a lot of you. I know most of you. I know a huge number of you have jumped off that bandwagon. I know you have because you told me you were doing it. After two wins on the West Coast, two very impressive wins, two wins led by Gordon Hayward in two uniquely different ways on two nights against the world champs and against the young upstart Kings team. Are you starting to reconsider jumping back on the bandwagon? Is it safe to do so? Or is this team just destined to break our hearts once again? It is Sports Radio, WEEI, the number to join us here, 617-779-7937. Sports Radio, WEI, it's Patrick Gilroy with you. It is late night, as we'll make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. The number to join us here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. As both the Celtics and the Bruins, they both won their most recent game in the closing moments of said game. And it's funny, if you look at the standings right now and you look at the records of both these teams, both the Celtics and the Bruins have an identical winning percentage at just a tick over 60%. So it's like, you know, you look at them and you look at the perception. And again, this is what we talk about so much here. The Bruins went into the season with relatively low expectations. I mean, you know, a playoff team, but not a team that had Stanley Cup aspirations. And meanwhile, the Celtics, they went into the season as a team that was one of the favorites, if not the favorite, in the Eastern Conference. And Las Vegas said that they were the team that was supposed to go to the NBA Finals and represent the Eastern Conference. And here they are with an identical winning percentage. And yet, if you polled, you know, Boston fans right now, they would think that the Celtics, they're out of the conversation. They've blown their opportunity this year. Meanwhile, the Bruins, I hear this with increasing frequency that the Bruins are a team to be, you know, not a team to be messed with. The Bruins are a team that should be considered not a favorite to get to the Stanley Cup, but certainly a team that is capable of getting to the Stanley Cup. And it's just funny how perception really changes the dynamic of a conversation. But when it comes to the Boston Celtics and it comes to where they're at exactly in this season, you know, here we are. It's what? It's March 7th. They've got 16, 17 games left on the year. And when you look at where they are in the standings and you compare it to where they are in their road trip, nobody thought that they would go to this road trip and potentially sweep this trip or win 3 out of 4. But here they are, they're 2-0 on the trip. And at the same time that this has happened, both the Pacers and the Sixers have lost 2 out of their last 3. So now the Celtics are suddenly, yes, they're a fifth-place team, but they're also a team that is just a game and a half behind the Sixers right now for the 4 spot and just 2 games behind the Pacers for the 3 spot. And when you look at what these teams have got upcoming, well, the Sixers have got the Rockets coming up tomorrow. So now the Celtics, if you can assume a Rockets win there, and it's a tough assumption, but if you can assume a Rockets win and the Celtics go to L.A. and do what they're supposed to do on Saturday, now you're talking about a half a game differential between the Celtics and the Sixers. And I really believe that 3 seed is something that's very attainable for the Celtics, because when you look at their remaining games on their schedule, they've got the Pacers 2 more times, and they're 2 games behind Indy right now. So they still have an opportunity to catch that 3 seed, which is vastly different from the 5 seed, because at least at the 3 seed, you're guaranteed to play a round or two at home, depending on where the bracket falls. And that, to me, is just a critically important thing for this basketball team. You don't want to go into the playoffs if you're the Celtics without home court advantage at any point in the postseason. We know how huge that is. It's such a big factor, especially for a team like this, where there's just a monumental difference between the Celtics at home and the Celtics on the road. But that's neither here nor there. That's the stuff we've been talking about the last couple of nights. That's all tactical stuff. That's positioning stuff. You know, that's where this team is mathematically. I don't want to do that. We've done that the last 2 nights, and I'm sure we'll do it again when the Celtics play the Lakers on Saturday, then again on Monday when the Celtics go into L.A. once again to play Doc and his Clippers. There's plenty of time for analytical analysis. That isn't what I want to do tonight. This is more about emotional analysis, because the last 2 games have been an emotional high for Celtics fans. On one hand, you've got the Celtics going to play Golden State. And, you know, that gets a huge audience anyways, because it's the Golden State Warriors. It's a nationally televised game. You know, it's the world champions. It's Steph Curry. It's Kevin Durant. It's Draymond Green. It's that team right there. And everybody pays close attention to what that team does when your team's playing them. And the Celtics go in there and they blow them out in their home court. And they blow them out wire to wire for the most part. You know, and that's something that hasn't happened at Golden State since 2006, a wire to wire loss like that. And you think about the historical sort of significance of something like that, and you think about what that means to a team like the Celtics. But it means nothing if you go into Sacramento and you lose to the Kings. And you think about that last 10 seconds of the game where Gordon Hayward nearly lost the game for the Celtics by stupidly fouling Buddy Hield behind the three-point line. And what does that do? You know, what does that do? That allows the Kings an opportunity at home to regain momentum, to tie the game. And if that game goes into overtime, I got a bad feeling about last night's game, because generally the home team that is able to sort of pull it out like that at the end of regulation because of a stupid play by Gordon Hayward, well, generally that team grabs momentum and they tend to run away with it in the NBA. But that doesn't happen. And Gordon Hayward not only hits the game-winning shot, he takes the ball the length of the floor. He makes an athletic play to free himself up, and he hits a fadeaway the way that he does. So it really showed everything that Gordon Hayward is capable of. And this is exactly what Brad Stevens wanted to get from a guy like Gordon Hayward, because he gives you that unique multi-tool dynamic, the same thing that a guy like Al Horford gives you, meaning they're not just one- or two-dimensional players. These are guys that can fill multiple roles on a basketball team. How many times do we see a guy like Al Horford grab the rebound, rip the rebound away, and actually take the ball himself? You know, at 6'10", handle the basketball into the front court and make the right pass, make the right play, handling the ball, passing the ball as a big man. That is a unique skill in the NBA. And to have your swing guy, a guy like Gordon Hayward, who's big for his size at 6'7", do the same thing, where he's able to handle the ball, you know, in a trustworthy way, not quite like a point guard, but he's got elite court vision. You trust that he's going to make the right play with the basketball. For him, confidence plays so large a part in what he's doing right now. And if Gordon Hayward isn't as confident or more confident than he's been at any point since he got hurt right now, then I don't know what it's going to take to build that kid's confidence up. But Celtics fans and your confidence, that's all that I care about tonight. Numbers can go out the window. They really can. Stats, wins, losses, they can all go out the window. This is all about how Celtics fans feel, because I've taken your phone calls all season long with Celtics fans feeling like crap because this team continued to dump all over us. Every time we got excited about this team, what did? They dumped on us again. You know, they proved out who they were over an extended period of time. They proved who they were over a 60-plus game span. And ultimately here, what happened, Celtics fans sort of gave up on this team. We really did. We said this team is hopeless. We said that this team ultimately is not going to be able to find a way to turn it on. They're not going to find a way to correct what's wrong with them because it went beyond the game of basketball. It was internal. There were internal problems that fractured this team from within. They genuinely didn't seem to like each other, and they certainly weren't playing for one another. And I still have a hard time wrapping my head around how you can go from a team that Marcus Morris, he fell down in front of the Celtics bench last night. And I got to tell you, if that had happened four games prior, nobody helps him up. Meanwhile, it happens on this road trip, and five guys are there to help get him up, you know, right away. How does that happen? Before the team even wins a single game on this road trip, that mentality had changed. Before this team even got off the plane, that mentality had changed. I don't understand how that happens. I don't know how that happens. I don't think I've ever seen it happen. I have seen a team change internally. I have seen a team's level of confidence change. But it generally takes 2, 3, 4, 5 wins to get those feelings of goodwill to build up within an organization. Those feelings of self-belief to build up within not only the players individually, but the players as a group. That respect for the coach and that respect for one another. And that respect for the game of basketball to play it the right way. Because the Celtics, over the last 3 weeks, they were an insult to the game of basketball. Just a no-show left and right. That game at home against the Rockets was one of the most disturbing games of basketball that I have ever watched in all my years of watching this game. And then they flip that switch or something, but not only do they flip it when it comes to the way that they play, they genuinely seem to care about each other right now. So when we come back, I want to continue the conversation, Celtics fans. Have you bought back in emotionally? And emotionally, are you ready to buy back in? If you're not, what is it going to take to buy back into the Boston Celtics as we embark on the final 15, 16 games of the regular season? I also want to get to LeBron James, who passed Michael Jordan for fourth on the all-time scoring list last night. Everybody on all of these shows today, ESPN, FS1, kissing the ass of the king, saying that he's the best ever to play the game. And I'm thinking to myself, really? I know the numbers bear it out, but sometimes numbers don't tell the whole story. NBA general managers, I have to believe that 25 out of 30 NBA general managers right now, if given the choice to start their team with LeBron James or start their team with Michael Jordan, I got to believe that they go with MJ. Don't they? Or am I crazy here? Am I just an old guy hanging on to the past? Has LeBron James really surpassed Michael Jordan in the hearts and minds of everybody out there? Or am I just an absolute old fogey who's holding on to a guy from the 80s and 90s? We'll talk about that and more when we come back for hour number two right here on Sports Radio WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.